DevOps.
DevOps. You're going to scare our listeners.
We have listeners.
Well, we're making a bold assumption that someone's going to actually download this podcast. So happy 2020, Mickey.
Happy 2020, Brian.
So, you know what? We're not going to do much of a retrospective on what happened, but 2019 was a busy year for Mickey and I. And so we're starting 2020, getting the podcast going again. And knock on wood, this will not be the only episode you hear this year.
So hi, everybody, and welcome to DevOps FM. I'm your host, Mickey Gousset, and with me is the even better host,
Brian Randall.
And for those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, we are a podcast that talks about, well, we have DevOps in the title, but we tend to talk about pretty much everything.
Yes, with a focus on DevOps. And for the first seven episodes, it was primarily focused around Azure DevOps, but in 2020, we're going to grow and be more diverse. We're going to talk about other platforms and tools, as well as other operating systems.
And by other operating systems, we're talking about BOS, OS2,
MPE, OS390.
That's not real. That's not MPE a real operating system.
That is a real operating system. It's an operating system for HP 3000s. It was my first professional operating system.
For all you millennials that listen to our podcast, Brian just dated himself.
I'd be really old. So let's get right into it. So, Mickey, did you have a good Christmas break?
I did have a good Christmas break. I actually ended up needing to take some vacation. It was take it or lose it. So I ended up taking the last 2 weeks of December off. And Santa was pretty good to me as well.
So I wanted to know what you got. And I knew, you know, hopefully you got some clean clothes and some other things so you look good on the road next year or this year. But what was one of the gifts that you got that you thought was pretty cool? I gave you a hint on our speaker notes.
You did. But so I got a couple of different gifts, though. So one of them is, it was actually a gift I got myself before Christmas, which was a new pair of shoes, which you're going to laugh. But they're these Johnston & Murphy. They look kind of like exercise shoes, but they're not. They're designed to be worn with jeans and in a more business casual kind of way. And they are so freaking comfortable for travel. Absolutely love them. But more importantly, on my very last trip, I'm flying home on my very last trip, and my Bose headset that I've had since 2013, over the ear, corded, not Bluetooth or anything, the left earpiece gave out. So I was like, dang it. Well, thanks to some generosity of friends, and some gift cards, I was able to acquire a brand new set of Bose over-the-ear headphones. I think it's the Bose 35-2 or E or something. Whatever. You go to Amazon and do a search, and they're there.
Well, I've already included a link in the show notes because I'm in the market for a new set myself, and I'm looking at this model as well as the other one they have. But Mickey got himself the Quiet Comfort 35 Wireless Headphones 2 in, you know, Roman numerals. And by the way, I notice if I go to the website, there are four color choices. There is rose gold, there is silver, there is black, and then there's customized, but that costs an extra $50, and you can only order from Bose.com. So which of the three regular colors did you get? I got rose gold.
No, I played it safe, and I just went with black. Now, friend of the show, Tiago Pascal, has the silver ones, and he likes the silver ones. But I just went with regular old black. I don't necessarily like to attract attention when I'm, you know, walking through the airport. But they work great. The noise reduction works great. It's actually two different levels of noise reduction you can turn on. It's got an app that you can use on your phone. It can pair to two devices at once. You can have more devices paired to it, but it can only pair to two at one time. But you can easily go to the app and turn a device off if you don't want it to be paired. Battery life is, oh my God, amazing. So overall, it's been a very good purchase. I'm looking forward to seeing to using it in 2020 and seeing how it works.
Well, that makes me super happy because I know it really sucked. I remember when you let me know because you and I were flying home from separate trips that day. I was coming home from Atlanta. Where were you at? You were out in, up in Connecticut, weren't you?
I think I was up in Connecticut. And what was really bad is I had my Bose headphones. They quit working. My backup headphones, backup wire, just in-ear headphones, shorted out as well. And then I had a set of exercise Bluetooth ones that I wear for when I walk. And those ran out of juice about 15 minutes into the flight.
So it was kind of a bit of pain and suffering.
So it was a long flight for Mickey.
Okay. What so about I you? Know you well, you know, on the headphones front, I haven't bought anything, but I was looking at what you got. And then another friend of ours, Ben Day, he got himself the Noise Canceling Headphones 700. Now, I've seen those also be recommended by people, so I'm having a hard time. There's a little bit of a price difference. There's different style, and the problem I see with the 700s over the ones you have is they seem bigger, so it might be riskier in the travel situation. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But for me, the hardware that I really would say I got myself, this is hardware that benefits both myself and my family as well as my business, is I replaced my router and my main network switch and my access points, my Wi-Fi, with a UniFi system.
That's badass.
It's pretty darn wicked. Now, I've been lusting after this for literally years. Troy Hunt was the first person in my realm of people I pay attention to as a geek. He's the first person that got it. And then other people have, including Ben Day, the illustrious Mr. Scott Hanselman, and many others. There's obviously going to be a very active Reddit group, which there seems to be for everything. And so I'm going to do a blog post because I did have a little bit of suffering initially when I got it going. But it's really nice. And what's really good is I can segment the kids from my work network a little easier. And more importantly, I can turn off ports and turn off their access. And so there's a lot of good management techniques for the family. For the work side, again, similar things. I can see stuff I'm downloading, find noisy items. But probably the biggest thing for anyone in the geek tech space is if you think about DevOps, right? You think about all the work that goes into building applications and deploying is, well, think of the clients that access your servers and stuff. Well, looking at what's on your network, I couldn't believe the number of MAC addresses I saw on my network. It's just amazing the number of devices that have accumulated over the years that are still plugged in or have hooked up to the Wi-Fi. It's just crazy town. So that's a lot of fun. So very geeky, but really nice. And I'll do a blog post later about the details, but I'm pretty happy so far.
How's the coverage over your house wise? Does it easily cover your house? Do you have to put a repeater in? Does it?
So what it does is if you go to the link there and take a look at the homepage, you're going to see these, they look like Frisbees. So those are the access points. And the way the ones I've gotten so far, and I'll have to put a link on the exact ones I have. But first of all, they're PoE, which is power over Ethernet driven. And the ones I bought, if you buy them individually as opposed to the 5-pack, the individual ones come with a converter that will allow you to plug it into the wall if you don't have PoE.
Okay.
However, when I upgraded my switch, I got one of their new PoE switches. So it has 8 PoE gigabit ports and it has 8 non-PoE ports.
So does that mean I have to put this somewhere where I can plug it into Ethernet? So if I don't have Ethernet run through my house, it won't work.
That is correct. The access point has to be able to be connected. And because the people connect to the access points. So then I've only got 3 setups so far and the coverage is very good, but I have a 2-story house and you've been to my house. It's got, you know, nooks and crannies. I'm still working on that. There's a whole process here. This is probably the downside about this is it is a geek's paradise, but it's also a time suck. You can really spend an enormous amount of time. So what I've done is I haven't moved actually everybody over. I even have my old SSDs from my old environment online for people. And I'm slowly moving things off onto new VLANs and their own SSIDs.
Okay, cool.
So that's kind of the just general geekery. But if we get into what's going on today, we're recording this on Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. And probably the biggest thing I wanted to make sure people are aware of is, you know, it's Patch Tuesday. And if you're running Windows 10 or the server operating systems, get your Windows update going, folks, because there's a nasty one out there. I've got a link in the show notes. But this was one that was discovered by the NSA, the National Security
Brian's
Agency.
Favorite organization.
Yes, I reference them on a regular basis. I've actually included a link to an article on Ars Technica, which is a really great website that I've subscribed to. I think they're awesome. And they talk about what's going on. There's links, of course, to Microsoft. If you just run Windows Update, you will get the updates. I already have patched a bunch of my machines that are running.
So
and then I will be patching. Yeah, thing. I'll be exactly.
Wow. Basically, it's saying crypto library bug allows spoofing of certificates.
Yeah. So,
if we patch, if you get patched, it solves that problem. Is what you're saying. Okay.
Well, that's what I've been told. So I do as I told on those kind of things. And then right after that, I have a link to Paul Thoreau, who has an article, Microsoft Delivers the Final Windows 7 Updates.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he's got a link from VP Jared Spatero from Microsoft that links over on the Microsoft 365 blog. Talking about 10 years ago when we first announced Windows 7 and Office 2010, we focused on delivering the best productivity experience of the time. And he goes on. But the bottom line is starting tomorrow, January 15, 2020, Microsoft will begin displaying a full screen warning in Windows 7 Starter, Home, Basic, Home Premium, and yes, even Professional that says, quote, it will, quote, describe the risk of continuing to use Windows 7 Service Pack 1 after it reaches end of support. Bottom line.
Keep going. I'll let you go first.
I was just going to say, the bottom line is you got to get off Windows 7.
I remember when Windows 7 came out and upgraded to it, and I was like, wow, this is, I kind of like this. It's much better than Vista.
Yo, there was... There was no question that Windows 7 was an improvement on Vista. You know, I ran Vista on multiple machines. The problem with Vista was it didn't play nice with old hardware. And so it created a lot of pain and suffering. We had UAC introduced. We had the new driver model. We had registry virtualization. It just, unfortunately, it got a bad rap. And, you know, lots of Vista was in Windows 7. There's, you know, this could be its own episode, but the bottom line is.
Okay. And by the way, for our listeners, you can't see the incredible job Brian has done in organizing some of the things we want to talk about, which is why I'm now immediately going to jump to something that's not even on the list, because I just thought of it based off of what you just said about this being Windows 7 last update. Brian, you know the game Grand Theft Auto 4?
So I know of the game. It's not one that's allowed in my house.
Right. But and Grand Theft Auto 4 is one that was out a while ago, like 15 years ago. However, it's been available on Steam and it's got an online play and you can play online. Well, they just took it off of Steam because the games for Windows servers that Microsoft used to run to support that have been shut down now. So the multiplayer doesn't work until Rockstar goes back and fixes the multiplayer.
So I'm confused. This is on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
But
they had tied it. They had tied it into Microsoft's online servers back in the day.
What online servers?
It's the service, the games for Windows. I can't remember what it was called back then, but it's the games for Windows service. So I'll have to find the link. Hold on, listeners. This is be riveting
You'll make a note and you'll put it in the show notes.
I will indeed put it in the show notes. But I thought that was kind of interesting. That kind of shows you what can happen over time. Things go away.
Yes, things do go away. And then there's things that you think will never get better. And so that takes us to the land of the Apple. Apple in 2013 introduced the Mac Pro Trash Can Edition, sometimes referred to as Darth Vader's Trash Can, etc. And for better or for worse, that device, which was introduced to the world with the tagline, "Can't innovate my ass," from Phil Schiller, was, let's just say, not the best version of the Mac Pro. It had some issues. They did some innovative stuff, but it didn't meet the needs of, honestly, the Mac Pro community. So it's been a while, and something happened between our last show and this show, and that Apple not only announced, but they did, before the end of 2019, ship the Mac Pro. I include a link in case you've been under a rock. I don't have this device. I will not be buying this device because I did some pricing, and a device that would interest me was going to rub me just for the computer, no monitor, because the monitor, by the way, is $5,000 plus $1,000 for a stand.
Oh my gosh.
But making the Mac Pro with the configuration I want, including the $400 set of wheels, would set me back over $13,000. So instead, though, because I do use Macs and do need them, I'm probably looking, though, to get a new MacBook Pro. Our friend Ben Day has got one and is really happy with it. Because Apple screwed with their keyboard, I've been holding out. I have been living on a four-year-old, going on five-year-old, 13-inch MacBook Pro, because that was the last generation of the normal keyboard. And then my 15-inch is even older. It is a 2012 edition. It still runs surprisingly well, but there are moments where it just starts to be slow. So I found those announcements were nice end of the year things. Mostly it was a less thing because Daddy wasn't spending that kind of money on those pieces of hardware. And I know, working with our partners in other parts of Microsoft and at GitHub, they use a lot of Macs and tend to use a lot of stuff on Mac OS. So it's always good to have that.
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
Will you promise not to tell anybody else?
Well, I won't promise, but you notice that there are people that are listening. This is going to go on the World Wide Web. So did something happen that you want to tell the world?
Yeah, hold on. Let me turn off the recording so it's just me and you. Okay. Here's my secret. I've never used a Mac. That's not really true. I did use a Mac in 1985. And I have it in my attic still, but I haven't used an Apple product in 20 something years.
You have a Mac in your attic?
Yep.
Well, I'm coming to Tupelo to rob you.
It's a big box.
I want your Mac.
Still runs. My Apple II Plus still runs. But my Apple II Plus only has 48K, and you needed 64K to play the good games.
I want your Mac.
So that's my dirty secret. I have not used any of the current like MacBooks or anything like that.
All right. Well, I'll let you rub mine when we see each other in one of the upcoming events we're doing. So for me, then, if I'm not going to get the Mac Pro, what was I going to do? Well, I have kept current on my laptops because I have to as a professional out working. But at home, I've been using the same desktop now for over 5 years. And so I started looking at, well, what could I build myself? And because my desktop, I upgraded the video card a while back, I can get away with building a new desktop and not buying a brand new card, although I wouldn't mind one of the nice, NVIDIA 2080 series cards. But since I don't game, I don't need it. So since I don't need the monitor, I don't need the monitors, I don't need the video card, building on the foundation of an ASRock X570 Creator motherboard, I can build an awesome system. Yeah, for I figure about $3,700. That includes two of the high-end 2 terabyte SSDs, a case, RAM, 128 gigs of RAM, the top of the line Ryzen 3950 processor. And that would probably blow the smoke off of the equivalent Mac Pro that I can't even build for $3,750 or $5,000.
Now, how loud would that be? Or do you build a quiet machines?
That would be with a liquid cooling. It'd be silent. No spinning discs.
That's something I wanted to do, is build a desktop. I've wanted to build one for a while. I've tried to want to build one that was silent. There's a YouTube channel I watch called Bitwit where he does a lot of different building stuff. But this motherboard looks really nice.
Yeah, there's one thing that's got me over there. Now, there's two things. A, I typically go Intel, but the AMD chips are doing some great stuff. So that was pretty compelling. But why this motherboard is... Intel opened up their licensing for Thunderbolt, and I have a lot of Thunderbolt 3 devices that I connect to my laptops as well as my Macs.
That makes sense.
I also have Thunderbolt 2. So the fact that I can get AMD plus Thunderbolt should be pretty compelling. But we'll see. That's still the future. So that's it for hardware.
Hey, wait.
Oh, wait. Yes, you got it for hardware.
But I just want to go back and amend my Grand Theft Auto 4 story. I did find the link. I misspoke a little bit. Essentially, they have had to stop selling Grand Theft Auto 4 on Steam after Microsoft stopped supporting the Games for Windows Live platform that the title depends on. It's no longer possible to create the game keys needed to sell it. So Rockstar is going to have to come up with some other way of creating these keys for the people that want to play Grand Theft Auto 4, which is still apparently a pretty top-selling game.
This is the problem with the digital world, which is a digression we could have as well. But you know, people want to buy all their media online digitally, and you know, let's go with the root thing. Your internet has to work, okay, and you better not have data caps. I mean, the numbers I'm seeing looking at my network just for the last month, you know. My family has pulled down almost a terabyte worth of data in aggregate. You know,
I believe it.
It's just crazy town.
So you were saying we're done talking hardware. Where did you want to talk about next, Brian?
Well, it is Patch Tuesday today. Well, yesterday we have the Sprint Update 163 for Azure DevOps Services. And per usual, lots of yummy goodness in there. Now, typical update after the holidays, it's not going to be as huge with features, but there's some nice stuff in particular around Azure pipelines. So pipeline decorators, repository references to other organizations, which is really nice. You know, you and I were on an engagement in November with a company that had multiple Azure DevOps services organizations. So that's be a feature they'd really like. Some build release auditing enhancements, as well as enhancements to evaluate artifact check-in policies in pipelines. So some really nice stuff showing that the Azure DevOps team is working hard to continue to make pipelines really good and yummy. So the last update was December 16th. So this is what typically happens, especially in North America, but you know, all over the world, a lot of people do celebrate the Christmas holiday period. And so Microsoft does too. Well, hell, you took 2 weeks off, Mickey. Why weren't you getting another update out, huh?
Well, the build and release auditing, I think, is going to be something that a lot of people are really going to be interested in. Because auditing in general is something people have been wanting more information on, and the build and release auditing for sure. But honestly, the pipeline decorators to inject steps automatically into a deployment job, I've had multiple customers that have been wanted to be able to do that. So if you're using Azure Pipelines, you should definitely check out some of the good stuff here in the latest release.
And just a reminder that the Sprint 163 will be rolling out, so it might not have hit your organization when you listen to this, but it'll be out typically, and it better be before the next big Sprint update. So that was what's going on there. But you know, in between our last shows, you know, we've had a lot happen. And one of the things that obviously has started to impact what we do is Microsoft really just putting energy into GitHub, and that means both people, technology. And so one of the things that happened in between our last show was GitHub held their annual event called GitHub Universe up in San Francisco. And a couple of things that occurred there, and there's some lots of details on the links I've got there. Probably the big one was the GitHub Actions 2.0 went GA, which meant it was available for prime time, ready to go to help automate your workflows. And in addition, they got some enhancements of GitHub packages out there. So you should definitely look at that.
Now, GitHub Actions, for our listeners that may not know, how would you define what GitHub Actions is?
GitHub Actions is a engine for doing CI and CD, is effectively what it is. The original version was started before the GitHub acquisition by Microsoft. And what we have in GitHub Actions 2 is some influence from a bunch of people that came over from the Microsoft side, where they did some enhancements to the plumbing, brought over some technology from Azure pipelines, and just, you know, took it away from there.
And it is definitely something, if you use GitHub, if you're looking at CI/CD, needing some kind of solution, it's definitely something that's worth looking into. There's a lot of different community developed workflows that are available in the marketplace, and the traction is just continuing to start to grow.
Yeah, so you know, basically you're creating your CI/CD pipeline. If you go to the actions page and go look at the available actions, there's almost 1,900 actions available there. Now, some are kind of silly, like they have one to help you order pizza. But on the other hand, they have everything from style checking to integrating with various other systems, the ability to integrate with systems like Discord, and do things around security, which was another really big topic. So one of the things they announced was the GitHub Security Lab, which is completely focused on securing the world's code together, right? So GitHub's all about social coding. And the idea with the Security Lab is to basically really help the community focus on global security and have a global security research community to help people write more secure code. And you'll see that, you know, GitHub now is can publish the CVEs. They support automated security updates, security advisories. They already do things like token scanning. They already scanned for over 20 different platforms. Basically, did you include your Azure blob keys or your AWS tokens in your source code? And they alert you to that so that, you know, they can't be found. Because one of the problems you'll find is there are bots out on the net that are constantly scanning repos looking for tokens and keys that developers mistakenly check into their application code in GitHub repos.
Sweet.
But wait, there's more. This was one of the things that got me super excited, and I was thankfully paying attention when they announced it, that they opened up an GitHub mobile beta for iOS.
Woohoo!
And so I've really enjoyed that. I can go to my Windows. My Windows. Yeah, that's what I'm running, a Windows phone. Haha. I can go to my iPhone and I have the application on here and I can examine repos. I can look at pull requests. Really nice stuff. They've got a version that runs on my iPad that's excellent. And then related to that, today they announced GitHub for Android. So if you prefer Android, you can get on the beta for that. So you need to request access. They're both in beta. Pick your favorite or do both and, you know, help make the products better. Hold on. I'm not done, though. But wait, there's more.
But I want to talk about the iOS app for a second.
Oh, all right. I'm just
kidding.
Have
to let me talk on the podcast once in a while, Brian. It's not the Brian show. It's the Brian and Mickey show. I understand that you're very excited because, you know, we're organized for once, but you have to let me interject every once in a while.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm kind of hyperactive. I got to watch some of The Mandalorian this week, so I'm kind of excited.
Well, you need to finish it so we can talk about it. You're so behind.
I really am because I work hard, but I'm sorry. I was excited just running over you. By the way, your video is frozen.
Not on my end. So one of the things that the way I discovered the mobile apps were out is through a Twitter video post by friend of the show, Martin Woodward. Did you see this?
No, get the because hell out of here. You gotta put that in the show notes.
Over Christmas time is Martin got fancy and created a GitHub Actions workflow where if you start his repo, it turned on Christmas lights in his office and played music. And he showed how you could start his repo from like from the mobile app, you know, just because you could start from there. And then he said that one of the things he forgot to do was to turn it off before he went to bed. And there's nothing like getting woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning with random Christmas lights and music going off.
That's hilarious. But how did that deal with the mobile?
Because in the video he showed, watch what happens, and he had the mobile app, and he starred it from the mobile app. And that was when I went, wait, there's a mobile app?
See, and we just don't talk enough. We need to talk more, like maybe do our podcast weekly.
Mm. Yes, we'll see. Well, we're going to do it this week.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Anyway, you're going to say there's more.
Oh, well, yes. But yes, I do want to be clear. The iOS app is really nice if you're on that. So definitely check out the Android one if you're into that. Well, I had one more related piece of technology. And the link I've included is actually to a GitHub post, but it's to do with Git itself. So Git, they just released yesterday, the 13th of January, 2020, Git 2.25. Now, as usual, there's going to be bug fixes and other things, but there's one big enhancement, and that is partial clones. So one of the things that happens when you work with Git repositories and you want to get a copy of it to work on and then share updates and do social coding or non-social coding, depends on what you do a Git clone to get started. And when you do that, the beauty of it is it will copy down the entire repository as well as all its history. Now, we know for certain large monorepos like Windows, that could be problematic. So the Windows team had created a special file system driver to make that work better, to basically give you sparse checkouts. Well, now it looks like that stuff has been taken and built into the Git client directly. Now, this is brand new. I haven't used this in anger. I don't know how it's implemented, but I'm super excited to see this because this is just going to make life a lot better for people working in large monorepos. Now, that said, this is one of those things that if you're a purist, you might say, well, this kind of defeats the whole point of Git, right? Having a complete offline experience with everything in that repo. But obviously, as the world has moved to Git as the basically de facto version control standard for new work and for people moving forward, it's good to see the enhancement.
And I'm, you know, becoming more and more of a Git. I'm no longer a Git neophyte, so I actually understand some of the stuff in this blog post.
Oh boy. So that's it for the tech thing. This was more of a kind of get caught up on some of the stuff we missed, and we'll probably want to dig into some of the stuff. And next week I'll talk a little bit more about what came in Git 2.25. I think we might have to do some videos. You've got a YouTube channel now, don't you?
I am. I have actually started trying to do a weekly Azure Pipelines or even more than once a week Azure Pipelines videos. I'm diving into the details of building Azure Pipelines using YAML and how, you know, behind the scenes are a little more details on how like jobs work and stages work and the steps. And so my goal is to try to push this out at least weekly, if not more, and do this through the month of January. And then the month of February is going to be hopefully all about GitHub Actions. And do the same kind of thing.
Well, fantastic. That'll be great. And you and I will be at some shows this year. I've got two shows in the links I want to bring up. Now, one of these, you have to be quick, and you'll probably need to be living in the Seattle area, but there is a show that I know a good friend of the show, Sasha Rosenbaum, who works with Martin Woodward at Microsoft. They've got a show called Delivery Conf going on January 21st and 22nd. In Seattle, Washington. I really wanted to go to the show, but I just couldn't break away from the family considering all the travel I have going. I was going to attend it. It looks great. There's some great speakers. You got Jez Humble, David Farley of the Continuous Integration fame. Patrick Dubois is there. Lots of great speakers. So if you get a chance and you're in the area, you should try and go to that. In fact, hopefully it won't be snowed out. Redmond's and the Seattle area is having a bit of snow right now. And then the other show is something that you and I will be at the Woo-hoo! Week of March 1st.
VS Live in Las Vegas, baby. A little less conversation, a little more action.
Come on. You can do better. I'm going to shut up and you're going to give me a little more. Do it one more time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Come on. Give me a little Elvis.
A little less conversation, a little more action. That's all you get.
Okay.
You want more? You got to come to VS Live.
All right. Well, we'll get Mickey to sing some more Elvis because on the first day of the show, we will be doing an all-day hands-on lab workshop showing you how to do DevOps with GitHub. So that should be a lot of fun. We've got some talks, other great stuff. Now, I've got a link in the show notes that'll save you $400 off the standard pricing. Don't know what that is because as a speaker, I don't have to pay to go. Or you can just go to the main site link and browse around if you don't want to save money.
And if you go to the show and you come up to Brian and myself and say, hey, I heard you talk about VS Live Las Vegas on your podcast. Well, you're not going to get anything, but I'll say thank you. And I will say thank you for being a listener. And if I happen to have a sticker, I'll give you a sticker.
And you know, maybe they can get some nachos or something out of us.
So it's very possible. So, but that would be really cool. The first person at VS Live that comes up to me and says, I listen to DevOps FM, I'll have something for you. Let's put it that way.
That sounds good. Now, thinking about the shows, you know, I love speaking because, well, obviously I like hearing my voice because I just totally ran over you this entire podcast. But the other thing is I get to be at shows with my friends like Mickey and tons of other speakers, Rocky, you know, the list is long. But unfortunately, there's something sad I got to bring up because it really just it hit me kind of hard. A fellow speaker who's spoken at VS Live with myself, Dev Week, SDD, and lots of other shows, and a well-known Pluralsight author, Scott Allen, passed away on January 10th at home this year. And I don't have any details at this moment as to why. Scott had some heart issues in 2018, had some surgery. He had totally changed his diet, was looking really good and healthy in 2019. So I don't know. He spoke with me at VS Live in Chicago in October of 2019. So I'd seen him. We broke bread. I have no idea if there's any other lingering health issues or something else is going on. But I'm just heartbroken, completely gutted. I've got two links in the show, one to the obituary at the funeral home, and then also the CEO of Pluralsight, an old friend of mine, Aaron Sconard, has written a really touching post about Scott that's available on LinkedIn. So it's entitled, Honoring Scott Allen, a Remarkable Author, Champion, and Friend. So take a read on that. Scott was just a beacon to the community, both and the stuff he did for things like Pluralsight speaking, but he also maintained a blog called Ode to Code, which I'll include the show notes as well, that just had a ton of great technical articles. He just was a sweet, quiet, when I say quiet, less boisterous than someone like me, but just a gem of a man, and he'll be deeply missed.
I never had the opportunity to meet Scott, but I did know who he was, and I did read his blog, and I had seen some of his courses, and I from an outsider perspective, I have to champion what Brian has said about him. It's definitely a big loss for the community, and we send out our, you know, heartfelt feelings and thoughts and prayers to his family and friends and everyone that's affected by it, and it's just kind of sad. There's been a lot of battle on Twitter.
Yeah, it's really rough, probably because I think it hits close to home. Scott was just a little older than me. And unfortunately, we're going to probably have a little more of this. But the other thing, it just tells me in 2020, I'm going to do a better job of enjoying the company of my friends at shows like VS Live, as well as I got to take more pictures. I realized in looking back, I don't have hardly any pictures with Scott, yet I had some amazing meals with him. I've got pictures of the food. But I don't have pictures of Scott and I together, and that kind of bummed me out. So, Scott, rest in peace wherever you are. And, you know, hopefully I won't have to be talking about anybody else this year. So, Mickey, what are you thinking for New Year's resolutions? Do you got any things you're going to do? And I think maybe next week we could talk about this in more detail since we're kind of wrapping up.
I think it'd be a good thing to talk about more detail. I will say this. I don't do New Year's resolutions anymore. Instead, I use the system that we use at Microsoft for how we do our general planning called Objectives and Key Results, or OKRs. So I have developed my OKRs for 2020. And what I'm actually doing is I've developed those for the entire year, and then I've broken them down by quarter so that I can, by the end of the year, hopefully try to achieve most of the objectives that I've set for that year. So I'm doing that. I do bullet journaling. And so I'm using my bullet journal in a new and different way this year just to try to, you know, mix things up a little bit. But some of my main OKRs that we'll talk about in more detail are going to be, I've got another goal. I did hit my goal last year of losing 25 pounds. So I've got another goal of losing 30 pounds this year. And then that will put me exactly where I want to be. I've got some financial freedom type goals I want to hit. I've got some knowledge-based goals like books I want to read, and I've actually got a goal of trying to be more active in the community, which is my whole YouTube channel, and trying to get number of subscribers up on my YouTube channel. So I've got several different long-term goals that then I've broken down into what I'm going to try to do this first quarter to try to hit those goals by the end of the year. It's definitely not a quick foot race, but more like a marathon.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the weight loss. I know that's been quite the journey for you, so awesome news on that. And I'm excited to talk more about the OKRs next week because I want to use some of that juju and help me kind of codify what I've been doing. So I was just going to end with a couple simpler things, and then we'll talk more about my ideas next week. But a couple things. Volbeat, if you've listened to the show at all, I've mentioned them before. They're coming to the U.S., so if you want to get your boogie on, you should check out Volbeat. My goal this year is to make it back to Belgium in June for two reasons. Number one, there's a little show called Techorama coming out. I've submitted. Hopefully, I will be picked.
Me too.
And then the other thing, though, is something I can go to if I can just pony up the cash and get my butt there, is Grass Pop 2020, June 18th to 21. It's back to being a four-day show this year, I think just for me. So hopefully I'll be in Dessel, Belgium in June, rocking out with headliners like Iron Maiden. Finally, one of the things, it's not really a New Year's resolution, but I'm super excited about it, is later this month on the 23rd, we get the first episode of a new show called...
I know, but my thing is, I don't know if I can justify another streaming service just to watch Picard.
All I know is I'm going to have it long enough to at least watch Picard.
Now,
I got to get some Picard on.
I did get a one-month free trial of CBS Now, and I shotgunned Star Trek Discovery. And I thought it was pretty good. So I'll probably wait till they get all the episodes out, and then I'll shotgun Picard.
Well, I do agree with you. All the online services and everything else has really kind of become a problem. We can probably talk about that a little more next week, but because there's some interesting DevOps issues around what they're doing to run these services, particularly what Disney did their big launch back in November. They had some issues, so they got a little hug ops from the community, but I think they realize what services like Netflix have done, and the Netflix folks have given a lot to the community that we'll bring up as well. But fundamentally, the way these services at, they have a big influence on our life. But definitely for me, probably the biggest resolution that affects our listeners is that I wanted to get back on the DevOps FM bandwagon and get some regular episodes out. So Mickey and I are going to work really hard at that, and we're going to talk next week about OKRs and some other good stuff. So as always, thanks for listening. You can find our information up on our site, but the bottom line is you can always find me on Twitter, at Brian Randall. And you can find Mickey as @Mickey_Goosey on Twitter. And anything else you want to say, Mickey?
Websites, blog.brianrandall.com or mickeygoosey.com. We've all, show notes has our email addresses. Please sign Brian up for a lot of different mailing lists. And
that is not nice. And just as always, the homepage for this podcast is https://devops.fm. Although I think our listeners probably don't need me to add the HTTPS at the beginning, do they?
Probably not. But
they're pretty smart.
If you'd like to comment on the show, you can go to the show at devops.fm. Send us your what you like, what you don't like, ideas for topics, things like that. Go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars.
Give us general encouragement to get our butts in gear.
All that jazz.
All right. Thanks so much.
Booyah.
Now, is there... I think there's a good, a short after show, but the bottom line is we did it. It's Tuesday. We'll get this show out tomorrow and we'll start focusing on next week's show.
I enjoyed the fact that Brian, that you kept us very organized on the show. That's definitely kind of helpful. Unfortunately, the only drawback to being this organized is I've got to do some of the help do some of the organizing next week. Otherwise, I tend to let you drill through, and I'm just like, oh wait, I haven't said anything in a while.
Yeah, it was. I was a little too hyperactive. I'm so excited to be on the call with you and to be doing this that I wanted to prove to you that I cared is what happened. So next week we'll be more calm.
That's perfectly fine. It's all good. What are you gonna do after we get done talking?
Probably going to go to bed soon. It's been a long day. I started today at 5:15 my time, and it is currently ticking over just past 8:15. And I worked pretty much nonstop. Although I did go for my walk, I've been getting my exercise in. And my wife made a lovely homemade dinner. We had some barbecue chicken and some steamed squash. I had half of a small baked potato. And
look at you. Yeah, so I am good. I'm getting the floors redone at my house this week. So I've got all my cats down in the basement with me where we're recording. And while we've been recording, I've heard multiple crashes and other sounds that don't necessarily sound great. And now I hear a cat that's yowling a little bit. So I'm going to go make sure that all of my babies are okay.
All right. Well, you do that. I don't know if you heard my dog barking, but Shadow went to the vet yesterday and had his teeth worked on, and he's just getting back to normal because they put him out. He was a little unhappy camper, but he's getting back to normal. So that's what we're going to do. Because part of the reason I was also up early is Brent is it's swim season. So he does water polo, and now it's swimming, and they had practice this morning at 6 a.m. So that also caused a get out of bed early.
Gotcha. Moment. That makes sense. All right. Well, go relax. Go finish up what you're doing, and we'll do this again soon.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.